Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
I think you can cut the music, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we'll cut the music this week.
This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. My name is Tom Lang, and I am pleased to be talking to you. The circumstances of our meeting this week are not very pleasing, are they? 6 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning since we last spoke right here on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We procured exactly 0 of those points. Your first-place Tampa Bay Lightning, which they have been all season long, are now in second place. So, where do we go from here? The season, she is not over. The race for the division, it is not over. But the losses, the setbacks, the adversity are all mighty, mighty frustrating, aren't they? In the immortal words of John Candy, in a made-for-Hollywood version of a true story. It's a movie called Cool Runnings. I allow him to speak for us right here.
You choked. It was yours for the taking, and you choked. You were ready, and you choked.
One more time.
You choked. It was yours for the taking, and you choked. You were ready, and you choked.
Yeah, feels about right, doesn't it? It feels about right. And so it was that the Lightning would lose 4-2 on a Thursday night up in Boston, a game which you had to have to kind of put some distance between yourself and the second-place Bruins, and instead it goes the other way. And wasn't it so predictable? Because you messed around on a Saturday in New Jersey, because you messed around on a Monday at home Amalie Arena against a hapless Arizona Coyotes team. I get they're playing well, but you don't put the right effort out there, and through 40 minutes, you think it looks like we're just going to sleepwalk and turn it on when we need to, and we can't. It's too late. Of course you play well enough to win the game on Thursday against Boston, but it's too little too late because you lost in situations. You know, in covering Florida State sports up here over the years, sometimes you get nuggets of wisdom from the coaching staff or a player. And Jimbo Fisher, before everything fell apart, and oh, did it fall apart here last year. Jimbo Fisher was fond of saying you can play well and poorly in situations and lose the game, or you can play not so well, but execute in situations and win the game. And that was the case last night for Tampa against Boston. I thought even after the first period where the shot board would tell you that Boston was better than us by a 3-1 margin, I think that was false. The Bolts competed from the word go. First 50, 60 seconds of this game, you saw the effort level necessary to win in the playoffs. You saw intensity, physicality, a compete level. They understood the score. They knew the importance of last night's game. And they rose to the occasion. Problem is, we lost the game. We were poor in a situation. We turned the puck over, Ryan McDonough in his own zone with a minute to go. He's mobbed by two guys. He tries to get out, skate through it, fails to the back of our net, 1-0. Take an offensive zone penalty with 30 seconds to go in the period. It's in the back of our net almost immediately after the faceoff. 2-0 going to the first intermission. You played a good period. You feel like you were playing on even footing with Boston. It's anybody's game. And you're down 2-0. That's hockey. But you know the problem about that? It's because of efforts like Saturday and Monday that you're in a position where if you lose a game because, hey, that's hockey, it's a vital loss. It's a crippling loss. Our race for the division is not over. You need help now, though. Boston's a point up with a game in hand. They play Florida 3 times between now and next Sunday. They play Philadelphia, Ottawa, and yes, they play us. And boy, do they feel like that's an automatic 2 points right now, because no matter how you slice it, it feels like Ottawa, or it feels like Boston, rather, has our number, doesn't it? It's kind of the reality of the situation. No matter how well we play, it seems we can't finish the job. Now, I have long said that 82-game seasons, well, they have peaks and they have valleys. And I'm not going to get lost in the peaks and the valleys. But what's what's really frustrating here is that you had a division for the taking. If you just took care of business separate, the Boston games, they would be important, yes, for sending messages, and maybe they could make the division race tight going into the final week of the season. But if you take care of business against a tired New Jersey team or an Arizona team, and I don't care, again, what kind of role they're on, you're more talented than them, and you play with the lackluster efforts you did, and you lose that game, you deserve the fate that we're likely to suffer, which is to play Toronto in the first round in an exhausting 6 or 7 game series. I'll pick us to win the series, but I wouldn't be shocked if we didn't. You're making the road to the cup that much harder. That's what today's about. It's that sinking realization. Yeah, we play tonight at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, we play the Rangers. And we can get 2 points and try and patch something back together to win this division. But you know what? Now it's not in our control. It's not in our hands. Because even if you beat Boston next week, they still have a game in hand that they can use against you. They win that game, they win the division. Plain and simple, you need help. More than what you can control, you need help. And this is what I've been talking about we need to try to avoid. And unfortunately, the effort level in the games around, the really important ones, hasn't been there. It's a reflection on what I was talking about last week when I played the Steven Stamkos clip about negativity creeping into the dressing room and 9-1-1 is good enough. It's not good enough. It wasn't good enough, and you know it wasn't good enough. That's a result. We're talking about the process here, right? We're talking about what it takes to win 6 weeks in a row, win more than you lose. And we never brought that over that stretch, not with consistency. On the other hand, there is good news about last night. The 4-2 loss to the Bruins, I thought, saw a lot of positives. It's in us to play hard. Makes it more frustrating that we do it only when we care to. The positives of last night include Andrei Vasilevsky, who I thought started to track the puck like the guy who put us in position to win a President's Trophy or to win the division. He looks like that guy, at least last night. That's your first indicator that perhaps the rest is finally starting to pay off. He tracked the puck well. One is an awful turnover. That's the first goal that goes in the back of our net. The second one is a rocket on a power play. The third one's a no-chancer on a 4-on-4, and the fourth goal is an empty netter. Otherwise, I thought his rebound control, his positioning, his agility, he was right there where he needs to be. And frankly, the reason we are in the position we're in, where you could have the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and home ice, as long as you keep winning, is because he covered up a lot of our deficiencies on defense. I thought we would tighten some of them up. I think, largely speaking, we have been better defensively. But in order to go on the run, you need Vasilevsky. And if we're going to play Toronto, you need him sooner than you thought you needed him. To be a star. Not just to be good or very good. Now he needs to be a star. We all know what the standard is here. This is, again, not a season in which the Tampa Bay Lightning are expected to make some noise in the playoffs. This is a year in which we are expected to hoist the cup. Are we playing up to that standard? I thought for the first time in a while we did last night. But the problem was, you mess around on a Saturday and a Monday. Unbelievable. You know, I spoke to my dad, was it Monday or Tuesday? And he's the one who got me to love sports the way I do. Everybody has that person who kind of engenders the passion for whatever it is you attach yourself to. And it could be a teacher, it could be a coach, it could be a parent, brother, sister. He's watched sports. He was 38 when he had me. So he's watched sports, the good, the bad, for 60 years. And he was very simple in what he talked about. He doesn't watch the Bolts every night, but he catches them when he can. And he says, we're not tough enough on the puck. That team isn't strong enough or physical enough to win in the playoffs. And that was the forest, not the lost in the trees perspective that he got from the game. You're absolutely right. Yep, nailed that one. It's how we look, doesn't it? We don't look strong enough. We don't look physical enough. Mentally, we're not there. If your captain is complaining about negativity after a 9-1-1 stretch when the coaching staff is asking for more and he's not willing to hold others accountable, you have a problem. You have weakness. Physically, we can play up to that level. It's not necessarily what we do on a night-in, night-out basis, but we can. There's a lot to pull apart. And right now,
we're getting pulled apart by just about anybody. Got to turn it around tonight against New York. Where do we go from here? And what recommendations does your humble host have? Well, I think evidence points to we can do a couple of things differently, and maybe we might get a little bit better of a result. We'll see if the coaching staff agrees, and we got a week and a half to figure it out before we know who our opponent is. We're going to the playoffs. We're going to have a shot at this thing, but it looks like we're going to make it harder on ourselves. Isn't that such a joy? This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast on the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. We'll tell you more in a moment.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Look at you.
A perfectly dreary song for a dreary Friday, and at least in Tallahassee. And I think in the hearts and minds of Bolts fans everywhere, that's what today is. Is the season over again? No, it's not. This isn't a funeral proceeding for the 2017-18 Lightning, but man, oh man, you see the car crash happening, and it's happening in slow motion right in front of your eyes, and you feel like you can stop it, and you can't. Bam. Impact. We could turn it around, and I'll give you some laundry list items of how I think we can do that in just a moment. As always, subscribe to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast at Google Play and iTunes. Subscribing is free, and you'll get an alert every time a new podcast posts. Hit the podcast button in your iPhone, search Joe Bolts, and it's right there. Find the podcast at Player FM2, and more platforms are on the way. Leave a review at iTunes, especially, please. We love the feedback, good, bad, and indifferent. I would think if there's feedback this week, it's angry fan feedback, and fire the hell away. When you have a really, really good team that's as talented as we are and can turn it on, this is what you go to the table with. This is what you're rolling the dice with. You got a chance. You absolutely do. It's just left in the hands of the players committing to do what they're capable of. That has to be eminently frustrating for Cooper, who I don't blame in the situation. You know, coaching these days, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago here, is it's about pushing the right buttons and managing people. But the roster is what the roster is. And if your captain is out here complaining about negativity being held to a standard, what do you do with that? You know, Stamkos is a world-class player. And maybe, just maybe, he is also a great captain behind the scenes and a good leader. But outwardly, the weakness he spoke with after our loss on Saturday to the Bruins a week ago is the weakness I see on the ice when we're not playing up to standard. It's an extension of what he sounds like. And though we might not be an original six hockey market, I think we all can see in Tampa when you're not playing with the toughness necessary to win important games. You don't want to be bullied around, plain and simple. You know, we're built on finesse. We're built on skill. We do have a little bit of grit to us, but you want a team that when you're pushed after the whistle in the playoffs, pushes back. You want a team that stands up for itself, and it doesn't always have to be after a whistle. It can be in the course of play too. And that brings me to where I think we need to go in order to at least give ourselves the best possible chance to make a run of this thing. And maybe, I don't know, turn around our fates. And the next time we talk on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast next week, we're talking about a weekend where the division is back in our control. It's in our hands. The number one thing that needs to be done, JT Miller needs to be moved back to a line with Braden Point and Yanni Gourde. That's your top line. If we're talking about the style of play after the 82 are over and you're in the tournament, the best line you can put on the ice is Point, Gourde, and Miller. We had limited exposure to it early on. Talked about it, documented it then. That line, at worst, is going to neutralize momentum. At worst. Their work ethic, their style of play, they're going to battle for pucks on the boards. They're going to win those pucks. They're going to generate scoring chances. They're relentless. They have to play together. This JT Miller experiment with Stamkos and Kucherov isn't getting the job done. Put Palat there, put Killorn there,
or put the triplets back together and let Stamkos figure it out on another line. I know that's a tough answer too, but come on. Who are we kidding here? JT works fine on the first power play. He and Kucherov seem to have magic in front of the net. He's had two tap-in goals in the last week, maybe three between passes from Kucherov and Stamkos. He has a great presence on power play one. But when you're shuffling lines constantly, and that's one critique I do have of Cooper, it may be kind of fan cliche in hockey, kind of like in baseball, where if your team's not playing well, all the fan base is mad about is how your manager manages the bullpen, the choices he makes. Why didn't he take him out? Why didn't he put somebody else in? Why did he leave him in too long? All these things. I think sometimes that's a criticism of coaches with line changes and combinations. But in this case, you have gold in the hand with Point, Gord, and Miller. You have a headache for teams. You have a line that looks an awful lot like what Boston looks like, Nashville looks like, Pittsburgh looks like when they're at their best. Tough, tenacious, relentless. It tilts the ice in your favor. So hopefully, if we're doing some shuffling over the next week, you see that grouping back together. Because I'll bet you, even if it doesn't always come through with goals and assists, you're going to see pressure in the offensive zone. Puck possession. These things matter greatly. Number two, I would put Johnson and Palat back together on the penalty kill. They made beautiful, sweet music together when they were on the penalty kill together over those years where we were rising to prominence, didn't they? And I get it. I do understand why there might be a little bit of hesitation to do that. You're giving up the ability to win faceoffs with regularity if Johnson's out there taking the draw. But that doesn't mean that they can't be the first ones off the bench if you win a faceoff and get the puck down the ice. The penalty kill has been a disaster. I think we've gotten better at it of late, but still, it's going to be a weak link. And you know it. You've seen it with us. In our cup run in 04 and some of the runs we went on to 11 and 15, special teams can make all the difference. If you go 2-for-5 on a power play in a game, well, you only need a goal or two more to win the game. And if on the other end of the spectrum, if your propensity is to give up 1 out of 4, you're already operating behind the eight ball. You put so much more pressure on your offense to have to score 4 or 5 goals a game. And that's not always possible in playoffs. So I would put those two back together. I mean, the hard part is you can't reinvent the wheel this time of year, but we have seen evidence of those two elements helping us out in the past. The Miller example with Gordon Point in the very recent past, and we would be hearkening back to something with Palat and Johnson. The defensive, you know, rotation we have, the pairings, they're going to have to find the right pairings themselves. There's nothing that from outwardly we can observe and say, well, Sergachev should be playing with McDonough. That makes all the sense in the world. It's not like that. It's not like that on defense. We'll just have to ride and see what they do. But offensively speaking, they have an obvious answer right in front of them, and we'll see if they do it. It's just we're in a weird place right now, right? You're riding the wave of being a first-place team, not just in the East, not just in your division, but in the whole damn league. And you let a couple of games go by the wayside that if you give an honest effort, you probably come away with at least a point. Then you play well and you lose to Boston. You know, again, I'm not mad about last night. And here's what I mean. When you lose in the playoffs, and we're going to lose in the playoffs, hopefully we don't lose 4 out of 7, but we're going to lose a game or two at least. You tip your cap to the other team because the other team's pretty good too. That's what last night was. That's an honest effort. I'm not mad about that game at all in the slightest. I'm thinking back on it right now, looking at the flow of the play in my mind. We went toe-to-toe with him. You know, you have a Kucherov on a wraparound attempt that he fires it back into Rask, and in the same sequence, 4-on-4 the other way, Bergeron and Marchand and Torrey Krug, they combine on one of the prettiest goals you'll see. There's the game right there, right? Instead of 3-1, it's 2-2. That's hockey. Before we go, though, there's one thing that frustrates the hell out of everybody involved in the sport. Not just the fans, not just the players or the coaches or the media. Everyone. Everyone. And that's the goaltender interference rule. I'll save you time and trouble on the goaltender interference rule. Flip a coin. Because logic, reason, replay evidence, none of it matters. And I understand that the league is going to turn it over to Toronto, so you have a centralized point of view every time we have to go to this review, and it happens an awful lot. So maybe there'll be some consistency in at least the way these things are judged, so you have something to go on. But as it stands right now, flip a damn coin. Because if you get emotionally invested, and it's really hard not to, especially if these things are going to affect playoff series, not just games, but series, don't expect logic. In fact, you should keep tabs and look at the replay, honestly, even if we're guilty of it. Look at the replay and take a pad of paper out and mark down, logic says the call should be X, and see whether or not it goes the opposite way more than logic would suggest. I'll bet you it does. Either way, save yourself some time. Flip a coin. So here we are with one plus week to go. We'll be playing next Saturday. Boston, on the other hand, plays next Saturday and Sunday. That's the game in hand that they've had to make up for some time now. And the schedule is it's a little daunting here. We're playing the Rangers tonight. It's the second of a back-to-back, so by itself it's not that big of a deal, but the back-to-back issue and travel may make it a little bit tougher. Sunday afternoon, it's a little matinee action at Amalie Arena. We play the Nashville Predators. Oh, great. Yeah, all right. Let's just play the other best team in the league, the best team in the West. That's how we're going to try to run down Boston, okay? Tuesday, we do face the Bruins at Amalie Arena. It's a heads-up matchup. If nothing else, it's time to send a message, isn't it? That, you know, we can beat them at some point along the way. Even if it's not for the division, that would help. Then Friday, it's Buffalo. We play that as our home finale. And Saturday, we have to get on a plane and go play the Carolina Hurricanes for a 7 o'clock puck drop. For the Boston Bruins, if you like scoreboard watching, they play Saturday afternoon. It's a matinee game. Saturday afternoon, they host the Florida Panthers. That is a 1 p.m. puck drop. Then Sunday, they travel to Philadelphia for a 12:30 game against the Flyers on NBC. Tuesday, they play us. Thursday, they travel down to Sunrise to play the Panthers. Then Saturday, Sunday, home and home, or excuse me, two home games, not a home and home. They host Ottawa and the Panthers. Where do we sit from here? As you can tell, I've shot the feature about the magic number into the sun, because that's worth nothing to us right now. We'll know a hell of a lot more this time next week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, and so shall it be. We are either division champions and we're playing a wild card team, or what's likely going to happen, we're playing the Maple Leafs and Mike Babcock, because that's just going to be our first round opponent until death do us part. We'll talk to you next week.